I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, welcome once again. It's good to be with you today. Another beautiful day outside. It was cool this morning, but you didn't know that every once in a while I give you a little weather forecast that you already know anyway. But wherever you're at, I don't know the weather, but here it's a beautiful day again today. So I want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you. I also want to praise and thank God for all of you who are just so beautiful about praying for all those special intentions that people call me with, and I'll put on our prayer list. And I'll start off today, of course, continuing to pray for my friend Meg for complete healing. She needs a miracle. And praying for Karen Carroll, that God would lay his healing hands upon her and restore. And a special intention, that prayer was granted, so praise God. And also, I just got a call from our Frank. I'll call him our Frank. So he asked me to pray for Terry Campion, and she's the wife of Nick Campion, and their family is an amazing family. But that's Captain Lou's sister-in-law. And apparently she had a stroke, and they called in for prayers for her. And again, her name is Terry Campion, and that God would restore her, renew her, and heal her. I just want to praise and thank God for each of you. You know, I think, and I always believe this, I think, you know, God expects from us even greater things than we do. And I really and truly believe many times, even like people say to me, well, you know, it's not an emergency, and I don't want to bother God with it. I mean, God's a creator of all things. And he's got the whole world in his hands. And if you have a need, he loves you. We're his little children. Compared to the agelessness of God, we're little children. And he waits for us to come. Just like us with our own children, you know. If something was really troubling them, whether they were little and fell down and skinned their knees, or whatever the issue would be with them, whether they had their first broken heart with a relationship or whatever, you would want them to come to you, right? I know that's what I would want. And so I think God expects us to ask for even greater things than we do. And I think it's a failure on our part when we think, you know, like I've heard it said, believe it or not, he's busy with all the big things, Kath. He doesn't want to worry about this. he don't worry at all. And he's God, and we're not. And so never, ever think from the smallest little thing to deeper things and even profound things and even things that are, you know, chaos, bringing chaos into your lives, or, you know, when life is threatened at any point. He wants to know. He wants us to come to him. And he wants us, you know, when he says, come to me, he wants to give us one of the greatest exchanges in the world. We give him our burdens and he gives us his. And his is, his burden is light. And our burdens sometimes, those things are heavy in our lives. And yet, if we don't think they're heavy enough that we need to turn to God for, well, we need to turn to God for all things. All things, every day. It's like being a kid and living in the house and figuring you don't want to bother your parents for anything. So you go without your needs met. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to comfort our souls. He wants the things in our lives that we're concerned about, not worried, you know, but things that maybe you're concerned about. Maybe your children, maybe something going on in your life, maybe a health issue for you or a friend or a loved one. Maybe you're not gainfully employed. He wants you to turn to him for those things. He wants to, if it's on your heart, he wants you not just to share the troubles. He wants you to come every day to him. He wants you from the time you open your eyes in the morning till the time you close them at night. He wants to be with you the entire time, in the good times and not so good times and the difficult times and the joys of jubilation. He wants to share. He wants to share with you. You know, I know if something in my life is really, you know, something beautiful happening or coming up, you know, I can't wait to share with my family. And vice versa, you know, if things are, somebody's struggling or things are going on in their lives, friends that I love and family, I want to be there for them. I want to help ease the burden any way I can. But it's always only he, the Lord, that has the whole world in his hands. Remember that song? You have the whole wide world in his hands. That's true. And he wants us to come to him. We're not ever going to bother him. Nothing's too little and nothing's too big. He wants to interact. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. And so please, I keep turning my computer on and it's for some reason went out. So I don't ever want you to think that, and I know most people don't, but there's times people say, I'm not bothering God with this. This is, you know, there's worse. Like I'll say, well, I'll pray for you. Even if somebody has to call, I'll pray for you. Oh, don't pray for me. There's so many more serious things going on in the world. Well, yeah, I will pray for you too. Maybe that cold, or maybe that fall, or maybe that respiratory. Maybe they are in some way, shape, or form making you incapacitated in some way. Well, you go to the Lord and ask him to hear your prayer, to enter into everything that's going on in your day. All the things that you can't wait to share with somebody that's good in your life, share it with him first. He has provided those opportunities. He has given you those gifts. And you want to go back to the gift giver and say, thank you. So I just want to share with you today that the Lord's always waiting to be with us from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed at night. And I got news for you. In the scriptures, he tells us blatantly, real out, boom, there. He tells us that while we sleep, he watches over us so that we can have sweet sleep. That he watches over us while we're sleeping. How many times have you or I, maybe, you know, Pam's out there, a lot of parents, siblings, you know, checking on their little siblings. How many times have you walked in the evening while the kids should be asleep, or maybe you're babysitting your little siblings and they should be asleep, and you just check in their room and you look at them. They all look like angels when they're sleeping, just as we did. And you sort of have a soft spot when you're looking at a child when they're sleeping. And so that's, Lord says he watches over us as we sleep through the night, that we might have sweet sleep. So nothing is ever too much, too little. He wants to be part of every single part of our lives. And I want you to think about that today. He waits for us to come to him. And he waits for us to come to him in good times and not so good times. He loves it when we share with him about things that are, you know, prayers that have been answered. He wants us to come to him and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes we take it for granted. I always use this expression because it's such a great analogy. You know, it's like somebody in a Christmas time, parking lots are packed, right, for all the stores, all the shops, malls. Hard to find a parking space. It's like an Ocean City. It's tough to find a parking space. You have to go round and round. And it's like, oh, okay, we're going to pray. All right, Lord, I can't find a parking space here at all. Please, Lord, please give me a parking space somewhere close. I've been round and round here, and all of a sudden you see somebody pulling out. And you're like, oh, never mind, Lord, I found one. Never mind, Lord, you found one? Come on. He answered your prayer at that moment. But I can't tell you again, that's a very common thing. Never mind, Lord, I found it. Apart from him, we can bear no fruit that will last. I say it because it's so important for us to get it, to understand that. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit that will last. But in him, with him, and through him, he answers our prayers. Maybe not the way we expect. You know, I talked to you over a week ago again, not only the tragedy from before with the flooding and the young children that were lost in those campgrounds, but, you know, the awful tragedy that just happened in Minneapolis with all those, and Our Lady of the Assumption, the two children that were just slaughtered, just shot. Little holy innocents. I can't even imagine the grief, the heartache, the pain, the suffering of the parents that will never see those son or daughter again. All the little ones that were shot and were all in hospitals. I kept asking anybody to continue to pray for them, that they will survive. And one almost didn't. But praise be to God, she was shot in the back, but she is, looks like she turned the corner. All those kids, the little boy that was on television constantly talking about how his friend saved his life. I mean, a real hero, a little boy, a young boy. These were the whole school. That's why so many were killed. The whole school got together, the parishioners, the parents, all the classrooms. It was their first day of school. And they were commending their day to God. They were commending their school year to God. And the last thing in the world you had ever thought of, that right then and there, that their lives would be at risk when they entered that the mass that morning, entered the church. Unthinkable. You wouldn't think, you know, and this is in no way trying to minimize in any way, shape, form, because I literally was brought to tears. I cried when I saw what was happening there. My heart was broke and crushed for that community, but especially for the parents. No way, shape, or form, I knew those children were martyred. I knew they went right up to the Lord. I knew they went right up, straight up, those holy innocents. And it puts me in mind, quite frankly, of the little child growing within the womb, and maybe a mother that's pregnant didn't even know she had life growing within her. That should be the safest place to be, just like the kids in the church. But yet people take that child's life. They kill that child. Should be the safest place on earth, in the mother's womb. And, you know, there's all kinds of situations and circumstances in people's lives. But abortion kills. There's no nice way to say it. I think we've spent so much time on semantics, we sometimes downplay the absolute truth that they are the real holy innocents as well. A child within the womb, that's life is cut short by someone else making that decision that they don't deserve to have a chance to live. And people regret that decision time and time again. Many times Rachel's Vineyard, that's what that's all about. It brings health and healing and restoration. It draws people back to the heart of God when they know that, yes, they did this, but they, you know, God enlightens their mind, and somewhere along the path they have that complete mea culpa, and their hearts are wounded, and they couldn't believe what kind of situations that were in that really led them to make that kind of a situation, that kind of a decision against life. But on the same token, that's evil. It's taken a life. And God, who is mercy himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, divine mercy, always waiting for us to turn back, always waiting for forgive me, Lord, always waiting to hear the words and hearts of repentance. And then he restores, he loves, he makes new, he makes whole again. He alone is the one that reads every heart and knows every intention. And he's a God about redemption. And so many times I hear people say, oh, I can't even tell you throughout all the years how many times in one situation or another I have, I've heard them say, just in that kind of a situation, it's all right. God understands, you know. It's never all right to do evil. Evil's evil. No matter how many people say it isn't, if it's taken a life. Good is good, no matter how many people said they don't believe in that good, and so they take a life. Good's good. Nothing can change that. Evil's evil, and nothing could change that, the acts. But God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. And that's where our heart should be. That's where we should be always praying and waiting, especially for people in our own families or friends or schools or convents or rectories. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we should be praying always that God would enlighten their minds to turn back to him like the prodigal son. You know, he said he came to his senses. And when people come to their senses and realize what they had done, in regards to this, with taking a child from the womb, killing a baby in the womb, should be the safest place on earth. And when the day comes when God hears that repentant heart say, forgive me, Lord, for I knew not what I did. And he restores, he heals, he binds up wounds, he lets them know he loves them. And we're quick to judge people. And so we always have to pray for those who commit these horrible, evil acts. And this terrible, evil act that was committed, a planned act of pure evil, trying to take as many innocent children, kill as many as he could, wound as many as he could, wound the people in the church, whether it was the priest, whether it was parents. But he predominantly, evidently, he knew children would be up front. He was aiming right through the windows at those innocent children. We can't ever forget. We can't ever forget that. And we have to pray for those parents, all those that were there and saw that. Yeah, the children that survived but still traumatized by what they saw. The people were at Mass that day. They, survived being hit with a bullet, but they were traumatized, and their hearts are crushed and broken for what was taking place. The evil act was evil, pure and simple. Can't sugarcoat it by saying, oh, well, he was this or he was that or he had his own issues. The act itself was evil. Murder is evil. There's a time for everything, and that's why that's such a mortal kind of a sin, because Jesus Christ says that he alone is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, and he is life itself. And so when life is taken like that, it's not like he calling them home. A vicious, evil act took place. And God, in all his wisdom and all his mercy and all his love for us, he took those children right to his own heart, they were carried home. They were little martyrs, right to heaven. But then he pours down his grace through us, weak as we are, sinful as we are, to pray for those, to pray that they will be filled with grace and strength and courage and hope, to pray that because they believe that one day again they will see their children, and the next time they do, it'll be forever. And that can't ease their burden or take away their pain. That pain, losing a loved one, especially children, you don't ever expect to bury your children. That pain is always there. You never forget. But the bottom line is, one day, you'll never forgive the act. But one day, when we all get up to heaven, we'll see people there that we thought that could never have been there. Maybe people that repented at the last minute. Look at this person that committed that hideous, evil act of pulling the triggers on the killing people there that day. He even took his own life. You know he has to be so mentally disturbed. He even turned the gun on himself. Why? Because somewhere deep down within him, he knew that was evil. He knew that was wrong. And he did it anyway. And so that's between God and that person. We don't know what his thought was when he turned that gun on himself. You don't know if he cried, what did I do? What did I just do? You don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that our God is a God of mercy and love. And what we can do, because he is pray for grace upon grace upon grace for all those that were forever traumatized by that horrific killing of the holy innocents. they not only took those children's lives, but they took those children out of the lives of their parents, out of the lives of their siblings, loved ones, grandparents. So I just really believe with my heart and soul that we must always remember that God is a God, and he holds the whole world in his hands, and he gives us his power and his authority to do likewise, to be able to forgive, to be able to forgive the unforgivable, to be able to love the unlovable. These are extraordinary sets of circumstances that we can't do without grace. And so we should be praying for those families, for those parents, for those children. Every time we think of it, offer an act of suffering up, or maybe something that's really difficult for us to do, and we do it anyway because we love the Lord. These are kinds of things that we can offer up, or people in our lives, souls in purgatory, or for the families that go through these horrific things. But we should always be praying that we would be ready if anything like that happens. We should be praying that God fill the hearts that have been crushed and wounded and broken. Church should have been one of the safest places in the world because of an evil act. For them, it wasn't. But for everything that happens that we don't understand, because he says his ways are so far above our ways, he works it together in ways that we can't even see or understand. And I'm sure that happened for those families and those children. His ways are far above our ways. But we have to trust Jesus. I trust in you. Because without that hope in him, our hope is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our faith is in him. Our hope is in him. And so without that hope, we're dead men and women walking around on earth. Our hope is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who blesses us, heals us, restores us, who asks us to come and follow him and offering our suffering up to the one who suffered more than anybody we could ever comprehend. I can't even wrap our minds around it. And he says, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Learn from me. And he wants us to be able to remember that he suffered unconscionable things. He suffered horrific passion and death, even on the cross. But he did it because he loves us. And we can't understand that kind of love because we're not God and he is. He was obedient. The scriptures say he was obedient to his Father, even to the cross, because his Father sent him to die that we might live forever with him in paradise. So, you know, we really, really and truly have a God that no mind can conceive, no mind could fully understand, but a God that loved us enough to send his only Son into the world to die for us, that we might have eternal life with the triune God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to take a little break. Don't go away.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, praise God. We're back again. I just brought the scriptures up for the reading today, and I'll share that. And don't know what, you know, I just knew I went off on a big thing, but I think it's important that we remember God wants to be a part of our everyday life, every minute of our life. He, you know, and he makes us a new creation when we come to believe and love him. And then he wants us to go out and cooperate with grace and go out after other souls and be a part of cooperating with that grace to help in the redemption of other people's lives, bringing them to Jesus, tell them about the gospel. Anyway, let me open up the gospel. Okay, so today is Luke, Dr. Luke, the physician. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing in, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish, and as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats to overflowing, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he was astonished, and all that were with him were also astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken in. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Now, do not be afraid. Henceforth you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything, and they followed him. You know, it's amazing. And God bless Peter for what he did. I mean, I know he was a weak man. He had a hot head. He was very, act without thinking all the time, very spontaneous. But he had a heart for God. And he loved the Lord. And that's why he was chosen. The Lord knew in the end he could count on him. He knew when the going got rough that Peter would remain a faithful leader And as the scriptures tell us, remember when he denied Jesus 3 times. And after Jesus was arrested and taken into custody and the horrific passion and finally death on a cross, scriptures tell us that scripture finds Peter weeping, not crying, not even just weeping. He was so distraught and knew that he denied Jesus and knew that he failed Jesus. But Jesus appeared to him and said, "Peter, 3 times do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know the story." 3 times he was asked, and 3 times, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus met Peter in his grief and his pain and in his suffering, probably more upset with himself than anything, wondering, how could I have denied him? He just died for me. How could I deny him? But Jesus comes to him and he says to him, "Peter," after he redeemed himself by 3 times saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll feed your sheep, I'll feed your sheep, I'll feed your lambs." And then Jesus says something so powerful in this one sentence. And yet, as powerful as it was so tender. And he says, "Then go back now and strengthen your brothers." Because he was forgiven. "Go back now and strengthen your brothers." For all of us who have been forgiven, we're called to cooperate with grace and the Holy Spirit and to go out and bring the gospel. To bring that gospel to everybody we meet so that they too can have that encounter with Jesus, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be renewed. Doesn't he tell us when we fall in love with him and we turn away from our past and that he calls us to be a new creation? And this is what struck me when I just read this gospel. It just, boom, there it was. It just came out so strong that Jesus falls on his knees and says, "Forgive me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And but didn't he press Jesus when he said, he was a little irritated. They were up all night fishing in the dark of night, cold, and probably on the water there, totally spent. They were exhausted when he found them in the boat. And then he gets in a boat and he, after he's done talking to the crowd, he says to this, obviously he was saying this and showing this miracle for the people that were around and to encourage the apostles, the disciples. And so he says, "Peter, put out again." And Peter was like, "Lord, we're beat. We're tired. We want to go to bed. We've been out here all night trying to catch fish. There's no fish there." But then Peter, again, this side of Peter that's so boom, right there. Don't think, don't pray about it. Just boom, there he is. All of a sudden realizes what he's saying to his master. And then he says, "Yes, Lord, I will put out." And he puts out into the deep and he catches so much fish. He needed another boat to come in and catch it. So much fish between the both of them that everybody was helping pull the nets in. Everybody was helping get the boats back to shore. That should be us. That struck me, when Peter was saying, "Oh, Master, we worked all night. We're done. We're tired. We've had it. We're overwhelmed. We want to go to bed. We're not doing this anymore tonight." But yet, he knows that he answered wrong. Somehow within him, the Lord told him to set out into the deep. When he pressed him, when he pressed the Lord, Jesus answered back, put out into the deep. And he showed not only all the people the miracle that happened, but he showed Peter. He showed Peter never give up. Never deny that I am the God of the impossible. And so, what a great lesson. And when we feel like we failed, we didn't, you know, we're tired, we're weary, we're overwhelmed. You know, people get like, you know what, I'm done with this. I've had it. And Jesus says, wait a minute. I got something more for you. I got something more for you. He expects more from us because he knows he's going to give us more than we even expect. He wants more for us than we want for ourselves. And when we ask him for favors, we half-heartedly ask because we don't really believe he's going to answer. And he's going to answer in ways that we can't even imagine, like he did with Peter. So much fish after they toiled and they thought it was in vain and for nothing, they're not going to go out one more inch because they want to go home and go to bed. They're beat. They're tired. They're overwhelmed. They're exhausted. But yet, after he pressed Jesus and Jesus told him to put out again, he did just that. And that's how it should be with us. You know, we're tired, we're weary, or we feel our prayers aren't being answered, or whatever the case may be. Go to the Lord. Lord, I know this is what my heart, what I think I should be doing. I believe, Lord, this is what you've called me to. I know, Lord, you're giving me more than I even deserve. Lord, I know you're bringing into my life more than I could have ever hoped for. Look where I was and look where I am now. You make all things new. You heal my heart. You comfort my soul. You make me more than I could have ever been without you. You give me more, always giving me more than I even expect. And that's what the Lord's saying here through the gospel. You know, put out into the deep and let down your nets again for a catch. And Peter, when he heard that, he was like, I'm going to do it. He believed so much that if the Lord told him to do it, he had a purpose and a plan. He didn't understand it. His first reaction was, I'm done with this. But when pressed, he listened. He listened when he went on his whole rant and rage about being tired and he knows there's no more fish there because they exhausted themselves. But then Jesus told him to do it anyway. And he did. And he was blessed beyond anything he could have imagined. That's how it is with God in us. I believe that with all my heart and soul, I wouldn't tell you it. I believe it absolutely, completely. Whatever we've lost, God will give it back to us and even more. God doesn't take, but he doesn't give even more back. Yep, his ways are not our ways, but they are the best ways. And I want to give a little shout out here to a woman that's been very faithful. She's blind as well. Her name is Erica. She is one of our listeners. And so I just want to say, Erica, this gospel's for you and every one of us who have struggles. Every one of us. And he's saying, don't ever give up. Never give up. I've set you free for more. I want to give you more. And I think of our Frank who just called in the other day and how, you know, the beautiful things he said to me over the air, and I gave him new hope, and like he says, he saved my life. And when he went on to say, I know I had planned to take my own life, but Kathleen, I know this day I was totally delivered. God delivered me from the evil that was always whispered in my ear that I'm not worth living, that whispered into me that why don't you hang it up? What are you good for? Whispered in his ear that nobody would really miss him. Whispered in his ear that he has nothing to offer. They're lies from hell. And he was delivered. You know why Frank was delivered? I really believe to give others hope, to give others the true, remarkable experience he had, to say, don't give up. Don't ever buy the lie, but believe in the truth, and the truth will set you free. He was set free because he knows now, he believes now. He's set free, and he can help others. That's what wounded healers are. You always hear me speak about it. Frank is really, he don't even know it yet, but he's a wounded healer. And by him telling that story, he probably had someone on the air or someone that forwarded the program that day to someone else. He probably saved a soul and doesn't even know it. Maybe somebody else was thinking of taking their life. But he gave hope when he shared that. Did it break my heart to hear that? Yes, that he was under that kind of a horrific, you know, darkness. Yes. But I love Frank. And I believe God, you know, God wasn't finished with him. And so he used the tools that he had. Humanity to reach his heart, to bring him back into the realization that he is loved, that God has a purpose and a plan for his life, and to never give up. Winston Churchill said it, under the worst set of circumstances, but God said it and spoke that word to Frank on Tuesday. Do not give up, my son. I will set you free this very day. You will be able to give others hope. You're giving somebody hope today that might have been lost if you didn't share what you shared. So my brothers and sisters, I just praise and thank God for his ways are so much better than our ways. And yes, we don't understand them. We never will. Until one day, because of him dying that we might live, because of the eternal Father sending him, it had to be the perfect sacrifice. So he came himself. God came himself in his son Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he comes again in us to give us new life. That we can cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit to be part of the missionary church to save souls through the grace of God by bringing the gospel to others. There are no hopeless cases. None. Oh, people might think so. Oh, that person's going to hell for sure. We don't know. Only God knows. We have to remember that he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And he waits for them to come to their senses so that he can bring out his robe and put it on it, put it the ring of salvation and redemption on their finger. That's what he wants to do with all of us. So we have to trust in his divine love and in his mercy, even when things are so far beyond our understanding. I'm going to open up the phone line if you'd like to call in. I only have about 20 minutes left. No, I only have 10 minutes left. But in the next 10 minutes, if this all makes sense to you, if you understand how much you're loved, that you've been redeemed, that God expects more of us than we expect. He wants to give us more than we could even ask for or believe that he would do. He's the God of the impossible. He's the miracle worker. He's still working in the today. I'm praying for miracles all the time. I believe in miracles. And I know miracles happen in ways that don't look like a miracle to me. But Jesus, I trust in you. I know that your ways are the best ways. When my husband died and I just had a brand new baby, our 12th child, head over heels in love with each other, loving our family, it didn't make any sense to me that God would call my husband home after just having a new baby. But he did. He did. And I had to put into what I said I believed. I had to put to the test. I had to put that into action. Lord, I believe. Lord Jesus, I trust in you. And I can tell you, from that day forward, God took care of all of our needs. Oh, we might not have had everything we wanted, and thank God we didn't. But we had everything we needed because we had Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, Meshua, our Savior, Wonderful Counselor. He is the great I am. Not I might be, I hope I am. He says, I am. I'm the great I am. And let him be that in your life and the life of your children and your friends and your families. And pray for those. Pray for those who haven't come to their senses, haven't had a repentant heart, haven't searched for God for mercy and forgiveness. He longs to hear those words. Have mercy on me, O God, for I am a sinner. Have mercy on me, God, and forgive me. He loves to hear those words because he wants to redeem everyone. But he gives them the choice to receive it or not, receive that redemption or not. We're going to have eternal life. That's why he came. Where we spend it, that eternal life, eternal darkness, or eternal life, that'll be by our choices. So let's be ready. Let's be ready to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord. I've come to do your will. Here I am, Lord, weak, sinful. Here I am, Lord, I surrender all my everything into your hands. I want to work for the kingdom. I want to be your hands and your feet and your voice. I want to love people into wholeness through the grace of God. I want to bring them your love, the same love that you brought to me. I want to give to everybody I meet. Because you love each and every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. Amazing, isn't it? He loves each and every one of us, as St. Augustine said, as if there were only one of us to love. I mean, some of the greatest sinners turn out to be the greatest saints. I mean, look, talk about Augustine. He lived a pagan's life. He did everything that there was to do. And then in his sickness, he came to his senses. He even had, in his promiscuous lifestyle, he even had a child out of wedlock. I don't know if you knew that, but that's true. He had a child out of wedlock. And then he came to his senses. And this man who then turned away from his sinful ways, turned away from his hedonist lifestyle, turned away from all that was evil and all that was taking him from God. That same person probably many thought he could never be a saint. He not only became a saint through his prayers of his mother and all those who prayed for him, but he became a doctor of the church. A doctor of the church. This fallen man, this man who didn't believe in Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, came to his senses. And not only turned his life over to Christ, not only surrendered everything, his past, his present, little did he know what God had for him in the future. And nor do we know it for each one of us. We don't know what God holds for our children. I've seen so many times such wayward children living totally contrary to everything the scriptures tell us, everything the church teaches. And then I see them too come to their senses. I see them too come to the Lord and become saints. That's what you and I are. We're called to be saints. And as we grow more perfectly into that, then others can see Jesus more clearly within us. So my brothers and sisters, we're at the end of the program. Take the gospel message out. And you say, well, I don't know the scriptures. I don't, how can I do that? God says in the scriptures that God is love. So every time you love someone, even those that are most difficult to love, you're doing what he did. You're partaking of love and mercy to those who don't deserve love and mercy any more than we deserved it when we gave our life to Jesus. He doesn't give us what we deserve, praise be to God. But he gives us mercy, not because we deserve it, because he loves us. He gives us what we don't deserve. So my brothers and sisters, I pray today in some way, some form, when you feel like giving up, give over. Give over, give it all over to God, that we might continue to go on, even in difficult times, like the apostles and the disciples. They were willing to lay down their lives for Jesus Christ. They were willing to go without. They were willing to do anything our Lord asked them to do. Struggling to do it. And he fills us with grace to continue to do it. So never give up. Never give up. But give over. Give our weaknesses and all that to God. He wants he knows we're weak. He says, in your weakness, I will be at my greatest strength. In our weakness, he will be at our strength. When we decrease and allow him to increase within us. I want to say God bless you. I want you to stay tuned for Dr. Raimondo. Very special friend, close to my heart, Anton. And stay tuned for the next program if you're able to do that. And never, never, never forget that God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. And he loves you more no matter what you do. And you can't even make him love you more by doing all the things. His love is a free gift to each and every one of us. God bless you.